take your Bibles. We go back to the book of Acts again in the third chapter as we continue this study. We start with the words of repentance and understand that Peter here has kind of, with this second message, has really directed it to the nation of Israel. So keep that in mind as we're reading these verses of Scripture. So please follow along with me at Acts chapter 3. We're going to begin reading with verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world begun. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. It shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel to those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our father, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquity. We're going to close with the end of the chapter there and begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and lift up your precious word, and please guide and lead us, dear Father, through your word. It's so important for us to know your word, to search your word, to study your word, to enjoy your precious word, Father. And of course, we need to be born again. Born again. We need to be saved. We need to have that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus in order for us to know and to understand and to enjoy, dear Father, your precious word. So please, will you guide and lead us today through your word? Touch every heart, lost and saved alike, Father. Speak to all of us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at Peter, and he speaks of this repentance, he wants them to acknowledge that they have denied the Lord Jesus, that they have denied the Holy One, the Just One. And even though the nation of Israel has been set aside, Peter preaches one last message, literally to Israel, to the nation of Israel. Individuals, Jews, Israelites, can be saved today, but not as a nation. And that's what this text is speaking of. But he speaks to them so clearly. And this text here in the times of refreshing, the Scripture says, in the times of restitution, the Scripture tells us. And that states a certain time that we're talking about here. And so they must repent of their sin, and they must confess that his blood is on their hands, as the blood of the Lord Jesus is on every person's hand until you come by faith to the Lord Jesus. We are guilty of crucifying our Lord and Savior. He died for you and for me. He didn't die for himself. He did not need to die for his sin. He had no sin. He needed to die that we could have life and our sins would be forgiven. And so it's for each one of us. But here, again, he is really speaking to the nation of Israel, as also speaks to us. We need to understand that, as it tells us here, that the sins may be blotted out. Sin cannot be forgiven before the sinner repents of his sin. That's something that is a message that is missing from the pulpits today. The message of salvation, the message of repentance, the message of returning from their God, the devil, unto our God, the real God, Jehovah. And so we need to understand that there are only two. There are many little gods out there that people bow down to and worship, but there's literally only two that people are serving. They're serving the devil or they're serving Jehovah God. There's only two. There's only two, because the devil has control of all the rest of those little gods. Anything that he can get you to serve and to bow down to and worship. But it's God, Jehovah, that we need to praise. It's Jehovah that we need to bow down to and give our honor to. And when you tell folks where the gospel is not preached and folks haven't been saved for many, many years, if ever, why, when you speak of that and you says, you know, you're worshiping your God, and they would answer, yes, they are. And I said, do you know that your God's the devil? That's who you're bowing down to. Well, how can you say that? I said, do they know the Lord Jesus as their Savior? Have they invited him into their hearts? And he says, well, that's not preached. And I said, then how can they be serving any other God than the devil, God with a little g? Only two. Peter's speaking to Israel because they have missed it. They have missed it. God would not blot out their sins, would not forgive them, unless they would repent and turn unto the Lord Jesus. Let's read Isaiah chapter 43. We went through the books in the Bible in Sunday school this morning so that you can get to these places quickly. That has been, I think, one of the few complaints from believers that I have received from the radio ministry, and that is that I go to the text too fast and read it too quickly. And so I share with them that I look it up. I don't have it already pre-written. I look it up. And so they need to do the same. Isaiah 43:25. It says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and I will not remember their sins. Repentance. Repentance must precede a pardon. So you must come by faith to the Lord Jesus. You know, John the Baptist preached, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's in Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. Jesus said, expect ye, repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Find that in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. All these years, Israel, the nation of Israel, has rejected the Messiah. But God knows there's going to be a day that they're going to turn as a nation to him. And that day is coming. And so they will receive the Messiah. We're going to go back to Zechariah chapter 12. This morning, much of the message is going to be concerning the nation of Israel and the promises that they're given. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, and keep it there because we're going to go to Zechariah 14 when we finish reading this one. Zechariah 12, 10. This is a promise. I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. This is almost 500 years before Jesus was crucified. And yet it says, whom they have pierced. So this promise is something that's coming in the future. Go with me to Zechariah 14. We're going to read from verse 4 over through verse 9. And so Zechariah chapter 14. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall be removed towards the north, and half of it towards the south. Ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquakes in the days of Uzziah king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all his saints with thee. You know, some of these folks don't believe that that the church will miss the tribulation. Well, we're going to have to be with him for us to come with him. And I hate to disappoint all these people that want to go through the tribulation. I'm not going to be there, because the church is going to be raptured before that tribulation starts. And we have a promise of that. Then verse 6, it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day, not nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, living waters, half of them towards the former sea, and half of them towards the hinder sea. In the summer and the winter shall it be. The Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. What a promise. We look to these precious words, and I want to add one more here, and then we'll fellowship over them a little bit. Isaiah, book of Isaiah, chapter 44. Isaiah chapter 44, verses 22 and 23. Isaiah 44, verse 23. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth, break forth into singing. Ye mountains, O forests, and every tree therein, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. I missed verse 22. Let me read it first. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. And then verse 23, sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth, break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forests, and every tree therein, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, glorified himself in Israel. You know, as we look at these wonderful verses of Scripture, as Peter speaks to these folks, what they were looking for in a Savior was a Savior to save them from Rome. They were looking for a Savior King that would come and set up his throne and rule and reign over Jerusalem, run out all the enemies, and they will be a joyful people with their King present. What they didn't realize was that they had missed the part where the Lord Jesus would come as their Messiah, their Savior first, Savior from their sin. The only thing they could see is the enemy that was present. That's all they could see. They could not see the enemy of the devil, and the enemy which is sin, which has condemned and killed us. And so we need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the hope is coming. And as we see in the news and we hear all these things about the nation of Israel and how that all the enemies in the world and even this great nation is beginning to turn their back on the nation of Israel, and God forbid for us that that happens. It's not going to change one thing for the nation of Israel, because God's hand's on the nation of Israel. But when it comes to our blessings, that's where we're in trouble. Because when we turn our back on the nation of Israel, we will receive the curse of God as the promise of the word comes to us, instead of having the blessing that we have received for so many years. This nation of Israel has been set aside, but there is a day of returning. And once again, I'm going to repeat, that doesn't mean that a Jew, an Israelite, cannot be saved today. But as far as a national salvation, a nation being saved and brought to the light of the Lord Jesus, for the nation of Israel, that will not come until the end of the tribulation period. The gathering will come. The coming to the Lord will come during the tribulation period. But then that kingdom age, that time when Jesus will set his kingdom up, will come at the close, as we read back in the scripture, when we return with him. Let's go back now to this word repentance. Repentance, a turning, to face about, to turn. And we need to realize that must come if salvation is to be real. If salvation is to be God sent, the Spirit of God will convict you of your sin, convict you of your life, and the Spirit of God will turn you from facing the devil to facing God. So we need to turn from facing the devil to facing God. And that cannot be done. We have no desire to turn from the devil. So only the Spirit of God, as he convicts our heart, then we receive a faith, a power, a strength that allows us to turn when we say yes to Jesus. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, died there for our sins, took our sins away, rose from the dead 3 days later. By the Spirit of God, as he came down, Jesus said, I'm going to send the Comforter. The Comforter has come, and he is here, and he is convicting the hearts of people. But we need to respond to that conviction. We need to respond to those statements. And today, when it's kind of a universal salvation and everybody is saved, no, my friend, the only ones that are born again, the only ones that are saved, are the ones that have come by faith to Jesus Christ and have that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. No religion can get you there. This church can't get you there. It must come by faith. A faith that God gives you through the Holy Spirit, and you can be born again. This past week, I spoke to a person, and we got into a conversation. And I know that he's saved. He knows that I'm saved. We visited several times, and I asked him to do something. I asked him to go ask his preacher, "Are you born again?" Oh, I hope I got enough guts to do that. I said, "You have any trouble asking me if I'm born again?" "Not at all." I said, "Well, let me tell you about it." He said, "You don't have to. You saved between the house and the Pharaoh house." He didn't even let me continue. I said, "How do you know that?" He says, "Because you share it all the time." I said, "And you don't know if your preacher's born again? And you're scared to ask?" What's the excuse? There is none. So sad that anybody would stay in a place where the gospel is not preached. The word is not proclaimed, and they're even ashamed to ask if their preacher's saved. Repentance, a turning about, blotted out. This word blotted out, it's got to do with borrowing money in the Old Testament times. And when you borrowed money from somebody in the Old Testament times, it was recorded on wax. And when the debt was paid, the debt was not only canceled, but there was a flat instrument that they would put upon this, and the debt would be completely removed. it would be totally smooth. No record whatsoever of that debt. There was no paper trail to go back and say, hey, Joe used to own this. I see it's written right there. Well, you see, the devil can't do that either, because he can't look back at my record and says, hey, Larry was it? I see that back there. Because you see, the blood of Jesus paid the debt, blotted out every sin I have ever committed. There is no record of it. No record. That's what happens when a sinner repents and believes in Jesus as Savior. God completely removes, blots out any trace of sin in our lives. Thank God for a Savior that not only forgives us our sin, but blots us out, never to be seen again. We can apply this, you know, boy, to have our sins blotted out. But Peter's talking to this nation of Israel. He's talking about the people of Israel, his brothers, the folks that he loves so much. And he knows what they're hung up on is their religion. Is their religion. And that's the reason that when we're talking to them or talking to anybody, tell them about Jesus. I've had this conversation with this fellow before. And the only thing we cover is the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And every conversation we have, he hangs his head and says, I know. I know. I shouldn't be. I know. Peter wanted the same for the nation of Israel. He wanted them to hang their heads and say, I know. I know that I have crucified the Lord. My sin has crucified the Lord. I want to repent. I want to turn and come by faith to the Lord Jesus. But this time, Peter continues, and he not only presents this, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. He goes on and says, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Why does he continue this? Why does he go into this at this time? Because I believe he knows that the word needs to be preached, but the nation is going to reject it, has rejected it, and will continue to reject it. He calls for salvation to his brothers, but he knows that they're going to reject it. But he's adding, by the Holy Spirit, there's no question here that the Holy Spirit has recorded these words. Because otherwise Peter, I don't believe, would begin and go back and says, you've rejected him now, but there's going to be a time he's going to call you again. And that's what he's talking about here in these scripture verses. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Send Jesus Christ? I thought Jesus Christ has been here, lived, crucified, buried, and rose again. What are we talking about here? And he shall send Jesus Christ. That's what was referred to back earlier when that we read with his saints. When Jesus comes again, that will be the first time Israel really sees him. All these people, all these Jews have died and went straight to hell, because they had missed his first coming. But God doesn't turn his back on Israel. And again, that's the reason that we need to pray for the nation of Israel. We need to support the nation of Israel. They're God's people. But there's going to be a time no matter how many nuclear bombs they want to throw at them. It's exciting. It should be exciting for us to watch how God's hand continues to protect the nation of Israel. What's going to be the world's explanation when that nuclear bomb is directed right at Israel and it doesn't destroy it? What's the world's explanation going to be when that takes place? It's going to be exciting. It's going to be exciting. Just as we've said before, just the very existence of the nation of Israel and watch God's hand upon it is proof that this precious word is true. His precious word is true. This message, if you'll notice, this precious gift of the Holy Spirit that's spoken of in the earlier message is not spoken of here. He's talking to the nation of Israel. But the Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost. The church was born. The body of Christ had its beginning at this time. The nation of Israel has been set aside. Peter's second sermon here, second message, really has everything to do with the nation of Israel and the future hope of the nation of Israel. In the refreshing, the times of refreshing, a future time, the Spirit will be poured out upon all Israel, as we've already read. The time of refreshing and the restitution of all things. We've got several verses of Scripture that we're going to look at, and we're going to read just one, and that's Romans chapter 11, because we're going to go back into Ezekiel chapter 11, and we're going to read many, Ezekiel chapter 20, and we're going to look at all these things. Do you realize that in the book of Ezekiel, that God told the nation of Israel, I will, over 300 times? I will, over 300 times. We're going to talk about 299 of them. And so, bring your lunch next week. Let's turn to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 26 and 27, and we'll close with this and start with this. Romans chapter 11, verse 26 and 27. And so all Israel shall be saved, as is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you today for your precious word. And please, dear Father, you have shown the greatest love to us in giving your Son. Came here to earth, not to live, but to die, and died for our sins and took our sins away. Father, I ask that you give us as fathers a power and a strength to open our mouths and speak your precious word. That Father, all will hear of your gospel, but especially of our families. That our children, spouses, parents, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, Father, please open our mouths that we may speak your word. 300 I wills didn't do it for the nation of Israel. They still rejected the Lord Jesus. But there'll be a day. You just keep that remnant, and there's going to be a day that they're going to be restored. Father, please, just touch all of our hearts. Don't let anyone be here or leave here without knowing you as their Savior. And please let us proclaim these words. We all have so many family members and friends that do not know you as their Savior. And we seem to be afraid to speak. Open our mouths. Speak to hearts. Touch everyone's heart today, Father. Bring the saved to you and grow us. Bring the lost to you and those that are saved, grow us, dear Lord, please. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.